Well, good morning. This is a different time for all of us. This is the first of our Wednesday morning Bible studies as a part of Minton Williams Ministries that we're doing online only. So as we start this morning, I want to remind you that if you need or would like the notes or handouts that we normally provide during these sessions, if you'll just email us on the website, contact us through the website, then we will be happy to send you a PDF or a Word file of this document. And with that, let's pray as we get going this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for those who are listening. And Father, I thank you it's not about a building, but it's about us, the people, your people. And so we just rest in that knowledge today. And right now, I just declare that as these words are spoken today, they are your words, and your words are the anointed words. And I just declare that as these words come out of the speakers of whatever devices people are listening on, that they will pervade that room with your presence and your anointing and minister that which they need to hear. And we do it in trust, in confidence, as we rest in you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, we started a new study last week looking at the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. And we talked last week about lamps, horns, and eyes. So I want to do a really quick review today, and then we'll pick up and proceed. We opened last week looking at John 14, where Jesus talks about giving us a comforter, another of the same kind, he said, one exactly like him. So if you want to get a vision of what the Holy Spirit can do in your life, look at the life of Jesus with respect to his disciples, and you'll see an excellent comparison. And what did he say? He said, I'm going to be with you forever. And we kind of overlook this sometime, but he also said, I'm not going to leave you helpless. And I think that's important to us. As I started putting notes together for the new part today, I wrote down, we don't appreciate the magnitude of the gift of the Holy Spirit sometime in our life. Many believers couldn't tell you exactly what the Holy Spirit is, nor how he works or what he does for us. So that's why I believe the Lord has us doing this study. We saw in Revelation 1:4, 4:5, and 5:6, that the Holy Spirit is referred to as seven spirits. And in chapter 4, it's seven spirits and seven lamps. And in Revelation 5:6, it's seven spirits and seven horns and seven eyes. So we ask the question, what do these spirits in this, seven spirits, really refer to? And we saw clearly that it refers to the Holy Spirit, and I would say in his perfection, in his completion, as the number seven represents. I also believe that the number seven, as we saw last week and we'll continue in today as we study three of these seven, are a reference to the manifestations or the work, or you could even say the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We saw the three areas that we looked at, that we talked about just now, the lamps. And we saw in Revelation that there were seven lamps. And what does a lamp do? It illuminates. It gives light. It also reveals things that maybe have been hidden. It allows them to be seen and not covered up by the darkness. In John 1, verses 4 and 5, it reads, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And other translations say the darkness could not overcome it. And I think that says a couple of things to us, that darkness does not understand all of the Word of God. The devil can quote it to you, as he did with Jesus, but it's not with the understanding of the power that is contained in it when that light reveals what has been hidden for us, not from us, in it. This element of the Holy Spirit then brings light and life, obviously, to us. And we also talked about it revealing. I would say it imparts or it shows us different things. And what might that be? Well, it reveals the revelation of the Word of God to us. But it also reveals to us areas of our lives which need alignment to the Word. We looked at a number of scriptures concerning being a lamp or a light. We saw in Proverbs that his words are a lamp and his words teach us and reprove us. We saw in Proverbs 20 that the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, which searches the innermost part of our heart. So this light is not an external light. It's a light that's internal in us, and it looks down inside us and discerns those areas that we can align better with his word and with his will or his calling for our life. In other words, that's the way the Holy Spirit guides us. And I want to say again, the Holy Spirit will never guide you in opposition to the word. If you have a choir of angels appear to you in a dream or at night, and they are speaking something that sounds beautiful, but it does not align with the word of God, cast it away. Put it behind you. We also looked at the seven horns of Revelation 5:6, and we asked the question, what does a horn represent? And then we looked at scriptures, and we saw through a number of scriptures that it represents might or strength, or we might say power also. Psalm 92 verse 10 talks about this strength being manifested to us, as he said that my horn is exalted as an ox. But it doesn't just stop there. And we're talking about works of the Holy Spirit, and one of the works being the might or the strength coming to us. But this verse continues on and also says, pointing to the Holy Spirit, that he's also anointed me with fresh oil. So today, let's just see the Holy Spirit as he's present in these words, as he's present with you where you're listening, just pouring out that fresh anointing on you today, and just let it drip down all over you and consume, cover your body. In 2 Samuel, David referred to this as the horn of my salvation. The Complete Jewish explains it a little bit, and it says it's actually the power that saves me. But the great part about that is we see it again in Psalms, and I believe this is prophetic. We see the same words used, but here it's not just about David. It's prophetic toward us also. So what David had, we have, but with an additional fullness, in that this Holy Spirit that came upon him, as Jesus told his disciples, he's dwelling in us. And that is what we have today. Then we looked at seven eyes. And seven eyes to me allows me to envision the Holy Spirit as omniscient, just like the Father in Jesus. I would say he knows my past. He's seen it. He sees where I am today in my current situation, and he has seen my future. He has seen our future. He knows what it is. Therefore, he can guide us on the way that we ought to go, the steps that we ought to take, and if we'll follow him, he'll order those steps so that we walk in the fullness of all he wants to. Now, the exciting part about that for me is that because he is in me, then I can declare, I see too, and I'm not just seeing my past or my present. I can see what's coming as I look to him to reveal it. And that's one of the things, again, that he said he would do. He would show us things to come. And I think this is going to get more important as we encounter situations like we're actually facing today. One of my favorite verses in the Psalms is Psalm 32, verse 8, where he talks about he will counsel us, or counsel me, with his eyes upon me. His eyes are constantly on me. Each of us need to get that revelation. That when there are times when we feel like we're alone, we just look up, and we can look up and see him looking down at us because his eyes are on me. And when we know, that verse goes on to say that he's counseling us in knowledge and he's teaching us in all areas. So we don't have to be concerned about the future. If we'll listen to him and do what he says, he's going to show us exactly the steps to take, and we'll prosper in every way as we go through these times. We talk a lot about the same Holy Spirit, the fullness of that Holy Spirit that dwelt in Jesus being in you and I. And we saw it a little different way last week. We saw in Revelation 4 and 5 that Jesus says that he is the Lion of Judah and the Root of David. Now, by itself, that may not mean as much to us without what we're about to look at. Revelation 22:16, he clearly states that I am the Root and I am the descendant of David. So if you would, go with me to Isaiah the 11th chapter, the first through the third verses. We looked at it last week, but we'll go through this again. And we will also use this to kick off where we're going to start talking this morning. It reads, and I'm going to read the first line of verse 1, "Then a shoot or a rod," and as you know, I'm reading from the New American Standard. King James says a rod, "but then a shoot will spring forth from the stem of Jesse." So let's identify who is involved in this verse. The first, let's start at the end. We know Jesse's involved. And we know there's a stem, or we might say a branch or a shoot, off of Jesse. So who was that? Well, that's David, David's father. But it starts by saying, then a shoot will spring forth. And where is it springing from? The stem of Jesse, which is David, which is exactly what Jesus said in Revelation, that he was a descendant of David. And then second part of that verse says, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. So it says, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit. So this is obviously referring to something that's in that first line. So from his roots, who is that talking about? Well, I believe it's talking about the subject of the first line, which is Jesus. Well, if a branch then is going to be coming from Jesus, who is that? And we saw last week, that is us, the church. It lines up perfectly with what Jesus told us in John 15. And what did he say? That when we are connected to the vine, which includes roots, that he will do what? That we will bear fruit through him, through that vine. What flows in the vine flows into you and I as his church. Then it goes on and lists and seven elements here. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Now, yes, I do believe this is prophetic about Jesus as well. But if the Spirit of the Lord rests on him, what has he said? I'm going to send another just like me. So we know that same Spirit is resting on us. So one, we got the Spirit of the Lord resting upon us in his fullness, in his sevenfold fullness. And then it goes on and says, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. So there's two additional elements. And then it says the Spirit of counsel and strength. So we're up to five. And then the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And that's seven. Verse 3 says that he will delight in the fear of the Lord. We know that the beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. So that ought to be a delight we have as well. And then this one is really good, and we need to see more of what it's saying. It says, he will not judge by what he sees. How is Jesus judging us today? Not by what he sees us doing, but he's looking at his blood, which as we approach celebration of Resurrection Sunday, we need to have a focus again on his blood. And we're going to share that, the seven places that he bled the Wednesday before Resurrection Sunday. We'll just suspend this study and spend a day on that. And it says he won't make a decision by what he hears. So again, he's being motivated by the word of the Lord and by his blood. Now, I want us to understand, we're going to look at these seven manifestations over the next several weeks. But I want us to understand, Jesus, the Father, could have assigned an angel to us. But he didn't. He gave us his very being. And a lot of people elevate angels way beyond where I think we should, to a point where they're worshiping them. And clearly, the angel in Revelation says, don't worship me, get up. Angels are sent or assigned to serve us. They are superior in that they are a spirit being and they're not encumbered by flesh as we are. But man was created higher than the angel because the Spirit of the Lord dwells in him. So I want us to see that we didn't get something just really good like an angel, which would have been great. We got the very Holy Spirit of the Father himself. In other words, he gave himself to dwell in us, in this temple. And when I say that, then what we're really saying is that if I renew my mind and let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God do his work in me and renew my mind, then I can be a true disciple of Jesus. Now, what does it mean to be a disciple? It means one who becomes as his master. He's trained, he's raised up to be like his master. That's the promise that we have from the Father in this complete work that he has done in us. So today, let's pick up here. And I've just gotten excited just thinking about what we've just talked about. The Holy Spirit, the magnitude of that gift. But I want to talk today about three elements of three sections of his ministry, his work toward us, his knowledge, the understanding, and the wisdom. So I want us to go to Ephesians 1st chapter, verse 17. Now, during the time that I'm teaching this, we're also doing a study on Wednesday nights at High Point Church, and tonight we'll begin actually the first one via Facebook Live. And let me just mention that if we get all these things that we need shipped to us this week, we're going to attempt to do Facebook Live with this Bible study next week. We'll give you more details for those of you who attend, but it could go to a much expanded audience next week, well beyond just the website. So Ephesians 1, verse 17. And let me back up and just read 16 to start with. This is part of a prayer where he's saying, I do not cease to give thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. Again, since I'm teaching this on multiple occasions, although Ephesians 1 is not tonight, it's next week. Let me talk about this word mention here. While making mention of you in my prayers. This is the same word that is used in Acts 10, verse 4, where it says, your prayers have come up as a memorial to me, the Lord talking to Cornelius. That's an important piece of scripture for us because it's when the Holy Spirit was given to the Gentiles. That word memorial and this word make mention is the same. What would the saints of old do when they had an encounter with the Lord? They would build a memorial there. They would build some kind of altar or monument there. What is that saying? That it was ever before them. So when they came by years from now, they saw that and they remembered what happened. Do you realize that what the Lord is saying here is our prayers are just like that? In other words, they're still active years from now. I believe the prayers that my mom and my dad prayed over our family and my sister and her family are still active today. Even though mom's here on earth with us and dad's in heavens, their prayers together are still working and bringing forth fruit in our life. So I want you to see the importance of that. Then verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, revelation, I want you to, in some translations, say understanding. So a spirit of wisdom and understanding. And we're going to talk through these so that you'll see how this fits together. In fact, let's just do it now. And look where that revelation is, in the knowledge of Jesus. So as we break this down, he wants to give us a spirit of wisdom and understanding or revelation. Now, this spirit is not the Holy Spirit. In fact, here it's referring to a mental disposition or the attitude that we have, the way we think. It's referring to how we think and how we see things. And so what are we saying here? As part of this, we're taking the old thinking out and replacing it with the new. So there's a change occurring in us. And this ties all in to us renewing our mind by the word. So he's going to give us this spirit of wisdom and the knowledge and revelation or understanding. But for that to happen, the word has to be there. And so what I want you to begin to see here is that he's talking about giving us something, but I want you to see we've already got it. What does the scripture say? That the word has been written on our heart. The Holy Spirit performed that work. Who dwells in us? The spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding. So he is talking about things here that are already in you, that are not something else that you need to ask for more of. All the completeness of the Godhead dwells in you in the form of the Holy Spirit, the three in one who's in us. So what he's asking is our prayer here is for our spirit to become our attitude, the mental disposition that we have, the way we think and believe, And what we're talking about here is that spiritual, that revelation and that wisdom coming from the inside to pervade our body. So it's coming from the spiritual realm and impacting the physical realm. Now, let me just talk about wisdom and revelation. Let me say one other comment. This knowledge that we're talking about, this knowledge we're talking about is not carnal knowledge, but spiritual knowledge. So it's not things you're just going to learn with your mind. You're going to have it revealed. How? Through the Holy Spirit. And that takes us into talking about this wisdom and revelation. The word for wisdom, for revelation in the Greek, is apokalypsis. And that's where we get the word apocalypse, tying back to the revelation that was given to John. But what it literally means is an uncovering or a pulling back the veil. In other words, what is it doing? It's disclosing. And what is it disclosing? It is pulling up and disclosing what is already in your possession, what's already in your spirit, and it's pulling it up from the spirit realm and revealing it to us so it can go to our mind, our soulish realm, and we can get our mind renewed, as Romans 12, 1 and 2 talks about. So it's something we possess. Now, when we get a revelation from God, what is the phrase you often use? I see it. So it's like that lamp comes on. The eyes are working. But look where this knowledge is. And I'm not going to be spending much more time on this verse, but this is in the intimate knowledge of Him. And I'm really excited about some things we're going to share tonight, because He's not talking about just a little bit of knowledge. When you use other prayers that Paul prays, like for Colossians, you're going to see, and Philemon even, he's talking about an over-the-top knowledge. A lot. And then 18, look what he prays, that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened so that you might know, you might see what is the hope of His calling and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Again, he's telling us that it's already there. Now, with our physical eyes, we can't see if they're not open. And the same thing's true in our spirit eyes. We need to command them to be open and see. And this is one of those times, too, that we need to talk quickly about what heart means. I believe that there are, in the New Testament, I'm going to talk about that specifically right now, that there are times when heart refers to your spirit man. I also believe there are times in the New Testament, and this is one of them, when heart means the combination of your spirit and your soul. Because you know those two are so tightly connected together. Hebrews tells us that. And we're going to have that soul with us throughout eternity. And I believe he's talking here about the combination, because what he's saying is that word is going to come from the spirit and it's going to be revealed so you have understanding of it. And we'll see later on that's going to mean action. The word here that's used in the most recent and the most common manuscripts that have been found is cardia, K-A-R-D-I-A, which ties to heart. Now, it used to be they would translate it understanding, which was thought of as dianoia, which is the mind in the Greek. But what he's saying here is that with our spirit, we see. We see what? We see what's already in us. It is being revealed to us. It's being unveiled to us. And we have that understanding revealed to our mind, thus, as we said earlier, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And we do that we may know. So renewing the mind comes through revelation. And let me just say this and think about it with me. The entire Bible was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So we might say the entire Bible is written from the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. That's why people read the Bible and say, I can't understand that. I'm talking about people who aren't born again. Everything we get from the Bible, we must depend on the Holy Spirit to reveal to us. Everyone has the insight to hear the gospel and to have it prick their heart to see Jesus. But to get into the Word, we need the Holy Spirit. Definitions. Let's talk about knowledge as we look at these three, as being acquaintance with facts or book learning, we might say. How many people do you know who really have read the Bible and read the Bible and read the Bible, and they can quote large sections of it, sometimes very eloquently? But you say, what does this mean to you? What is it? What do you believe about this? And it stops there. So that's book learning. Understanding is a comprehending or knowing. And I'm going to talk about revelation with understanding here. To me, revelation is when the mind apprehends the real state of what is presented to it. It comprehends what one is presenting. It's not just what you understand it to be, it's what they really intend. So you understand the intent of what is being said. And when you have this revelation, I believe that you're going to see this revelation will propel you in commitment and dedication and even in joy. The saddest Christians I know are those who don't get revelation from the Lord, from His Word, and thus they never change. Wisdom. Wisdom is the right use of or the exercise of knowledge. And I want to say to you that godly wisdom puts us in a position to impact others. So book knowledge, we know it, we quote it. Revelation, we understand it, it reveals to us. And wisdom, we're using knowledge, we're acting on it. I have a little bit of knowledge of an airplane. I know that I can get from point A, that an airplane will take me to point A and point B. I have some understanding of how an airplane works, of what the law of lift is. But you would not want me to be flying or piloting an airplane, particularly a jet, that you got on to go from point A to point B, because I do not have the wisdom to act on what that plane will do. That kind of encapsulates, I think, how we can look at those three things. Now let's talk about the Bible, the Word of God, and get an example from there. When we read the Bible, we are picking up the knowledge of the Lord that has been written on our heart, and it's there. But when we read asking the Holy Spirit for revelation, what is He going to do? Now, you can't say, well, He may give it to me. No. The Bible says if we know His will, then we know He hears us when we ask for something. And if we know He hears us, we know He gives it to us. So if it's His will for you to know His words and you ask the Holy Spirit for revelation, what must you expect? Revelation. That's what a prayer in faith is, expecting results. And what does that revelation give you? It gives you some understanding. It allows your mind, your soulish realm, and your spirit to be in working relationship with each other, so that as you believe from your heart, those things begin to come out of your mouth because you understand what the Word's telling you. Then the Lord's going to give you the ability to act on that knowledge because you understand. That's wisdom. And again, I want to say this wisdom will benefit us and it will benefit others. Look at Ephesians 4:17. Now, this is something that you are uniquely qualified to do as a believer. Verse 17 of Ephesians 4. This I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you no longer walk just as the Gentiles walk. And look what it says, in the futility of their mind. So what does that tell us? They are walking, Gentiles are walking with earthly wisdom only. And spiritual wisdom, God's wisdom, is well, well beyond this. How about healing? How many of us read for years 1 Peter 2:24? And we heard what it said. But one day, we got a revelation of it, and we began to say, wow, healing is mine. He bore my pains and my diseases, and by His stripes I am healed. And then, what began to happen? We began to act on that, and we began to speak it, which is how it manifests. And then we were receiving healing, where before we knew the word, We knew what it said, but we didn't really know and have understanding of the word. So you see the progression of these three. That's why every time we read the word, we ought to do it with an expectation and even ask that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you His word, His guidance, His direction for you that day. Proverbs 4, chapter 4, verse 7. And I want to go through a number of the Proverbs because this is the book of wisdom. And I think then after we do this, then as you go back through it in your own study time, it will help you see some insights that maybe the Holy Spirit hadn't showed us before. Verse 7, the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. Now that just simply says to me, it's not enough to get knowledge. It's not enough to get understanding. We want to be able to use it. And so our desire has to be to acquire wisdom. And with all your acquiring, get understanding. So don't expect to just wake up one morning and have a great deal of wisdom that's not, you haven't put into your being via the word and the knowledge of the word and the understanding that comes with it. But I want you to see, it is very important to God, to the Lord, that we operate in His wisdom. That's what He put the Holy Spirit in us to do. An Old Testament example, and you might put a ribbon or a marked piece of paper in your book, because we're going to, in your Bible, because we're going to come right back to it. Exodus 31st chapter. And these are examples of serving God and serving people. In the 31st chapter, the Lord is beginning to talk to him about building the Ark of the Covenant. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And look at verse 3. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, in all kinds, or as it pertains to all kinds of craftsmanship. So what has the Lord done? He's prepared him through those three things, not just one, but all three of them, to do his work. Amplified reads, and I filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and ability, in understanding and intelligence, and in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship. Think about Solomon. Go back to Proverbs for Solomon. Look at Proverbs 4. You know, Solomon is touted as the wisest next to Jesus. And look at what it says here. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father. Now, from that one, we just need to recognize, put ourselves back in this place of sonship, and let that be preeminent for us. And give attention that you may gain understanding. For I'm giving you sound teaching. This is the Father talking to us now. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. So this is instructions that we get from the Lord for us, as Solomon is recounting how he learned from David. So go back now to 1 Kings, the third chapter, and we're not going to read all these verses for time's sake. But start in verse 5. In verse 5, the Lord appears to Solomon and he says to him, ask what you wish me to give you. Boy, wouldn't that be a request? What would we ask for? And Solomon goes through all that he's done for him in verse 6. He talks about all the things that he's reserved for him. And verse 7, he really says, but I'm young. He said, I don't really know even how to go in or come out. And he said, you've made me king over a number of people that can't be numbered. So in verse 9 is where he really asks the Father. Look what he says. So give thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people? And that, the next verse says, pleased the Lord. And so because he asked for that, what did the Lord actually give him? Exactly what he asked for, plus all types of riches and wealth and capabilities. The capability to build the most beautiful temple at that time that the presence of the Lord occupied. But I want you to see how the Lord gave him this wisdom, not just for himself, but because his heart at this time was toward his people. Do you know what happened at the end of this chapter? This is the account when the babies died. And the two ladies come in saying, it's mine. No, it's mine. And what wisdom did the Lord give him then? He said, cut the child in half and split it. And what did the real mother say? No. What did the mother who was being contentious say? Or the one supposed mother? Yeah, that's a good idea. So Solomon got very quickly. So I use that to say, this is that account is right in this same chapter. Don't look for wisdom to just dribble. Expect wisdom to come in abundance to you. Someone gave me a long time ago when they retired from Eastman, where I was working in Tennessee, a little figure, and it was a pencil holder, and it had written on it, with age comes wisdom, very, very slowly. When I got this revelation, I brought that home from work, and when I got this revelation, I threw it away because I was setting my expectation on how I was going to get the wisdom of God. As I saw that thing day in and day out, expect revelation to flow in volumes to you. And that account I just read is in verses 16 to 28 if you want to read it. Now let's go back to look at Proverbs 2. We're going to read through a number of these verses and talk about it. Starting with verse 1, if you will receive my sayings, my son, and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. How many of you have ever had a little puppy dog that you call his name and he'll turn his head or lean his, like he's just leaning in to listen to you? That's the attitude we need to hear the voice of the Lord. For if you cry or ask for discernment, knowledge, lift your voice for understanding. Verse 4, if you seek her as silver, in other words, if you treasure her, wisdom, if you treasure her as we do other things and search for her as hidden treasures, then. So when does this wisdom come? When we place our hearts in a position to say, I'm more interested to know you, Lord, and know your will and your wisdom than I am to gain things, to get things. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, and discover the knowledge of God. Now, think about this one. All three ministries, all three of the works of the Holy Spirit are noted in these scriptures. And I'm going to say it this way. All three are hidden in Jesus. They're not hidden from you. They're hidden for you. And that's just back what we talked about with the Gentiles. They can't see this because it has to be the Holy Spirit revealing it to us. Now, when I say that they're all hidden in Jesus, what I'm really saying, too, is they're all hidden in His Word because He and His Word are one. So, this is my thought. If I say, I really love Jesus, and now this is a important statement for a lot of people because a lot of people say, I really love Jesus. But if we say, I really love Jesus, then what you're actually saying is I also really love His Word. Can't get enough of it. Now, I'm not even going to talk about the opposite of that. If we don't love His Word, what might that imply? I'll let you run that one. 2 Timothy 2:15 talks about a workman who needeth not to be ashamed. And he's what? What is that workman doing? He's using knowledge. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. So he wants us to be dedicated, to be diligent, and to put forth an effort, not with works, but with love. And what will happen? Then we will get wisdom to do what he wants to us. Now, I'm going to say this a couple of times. I've said it probably already, but if you have no word, then you have no basis to expect spiritual understanding and spiritual wisdom, because the word is the spiritual basis. So we must make a choice. We must make an effort to be in his word. I'm not saying get into the trap where you say, well, I spent 15 minutes today, I need to spend 30 minutes, and then 30 minutes turns into 45. You get in the word and let the Lord minister to you. I had that vision when I was working that unless I spent several hours, I wasn't going to get anything. And the Lord spoke one time and said to me, do you think that I don't understand? You have a job to do. You have kids to take care of. You have a wife you need to be with. You have things around the house you need to do. I'm not unreasonable. Spend 15 minutes with me and watch what I'll do with you in my word. And that's when the word really began to explode with me. Now, let's go back to Proverbs 2, verse 6. We'll pick up. For the Lord gives wisdom. Now, that is enough there to say, quit looking at the world for everything, because it's not coming from man, unless it's a man that is filled with the Spirit of the Lord. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So we're seeing these three words again, knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Verse 7, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Now, what does that mean? Well, verse 6 tells us is out of his mouth is going to come this, and he's storing it up to give it to the upright. Who is that? The righteous. And you say, boy, I wish that was me. Well, what does New Testament tell us we've been made? We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ. So you need to see this verse is talking about me, and you can read this verse this way. You store up wisdom, sound wisdom for me, Lord, because I'm righteous. You see how we can begin to declare the word so we don't have to say, I don't understand. And then it says he's a shield to those who walk as in integrity. So when we do this with the right heart, he's also telling us that this word, this understanding, this wisdom will protect us. And I would add, during these times. So we can do the things that we know to do in the worldly manner, but he's going to give you some additional weapons to guard yourself during this time. And look at what verse 8 leads right into. Guarding the paths of justice and preserving the way of his godly ones. Exactly what I was just saying. Then verse 9 says you're going to begin to discern righteousness and justice. You're going to see his ways of doing things. And equity will, and every good course. So you're going to be able to discern between the right course, the right direction, and the wrong direction. In what areas, men? Well, in every area of your life. And then verse 11. Here we get back in verse 11 to guarding. Discretion will guard or keep you, King James says. Keep thee, I believe it actually says. Understanding will watch over you or keep you. So you see what that revelation knowledge is doing? It's working in your life to guard you. And remember, we're kept by the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy talks about being guarded by the Spirit in wisdom. So you have supernatural protection when we are seeking him, when we're in his word, and letting his word provide us through the Holy Spirit revelation knowledge with understanding and wisdom. Look at verses 12 and 13. This wisdom will deliver you from the way of the evil. Excuse me, let me say that differently. From the way of evil. Just don't put the evil in there. It will keep you on the right path. I've said to you before, how many of you have ever had a thought, I don't really need to go there, I shouldn't go there today, and you go and something happens that you wish didn't happen? What was happening? The Holy Spirit was trying to give you wisdom in this context to tell you not to go, to do what? To keep you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the path of uprightness. Now that tells me that we can be lured back to the world to do it the world's way when that's not the way God wants us to do it. God gave us a brain and a mind to use it in the right way. There are common sense things that we do. I had someone look at me the other day and say, when I was using some hand sanitizer, and said, I'm glad to see you doing that. And I thought to myself, why would he be glad to see me doing that? I've used those things for years as we go down to sit in restaurants. This is not something new. This is not just the world's right way. It's part of the wisdom of the world. But it's also a way that we can add faith when we use that, from godly wisdom, to extend that protection well above and beyond. So he can deliver us. Look over at Proverbs 3, and we'll finish up in this chapter. Proverbs 3, 1 and 2. Now, a lot of these are familiar scriptures, but don't read them like I already know them. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. And I believe as we go through this, some of you today who are listening to this are going to get a revelation of how your words and the word of the Lord relate to you receiving healing. So don't forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments, my words, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. So if a doctor told you to take a pill 3 times a day, you would do it. And you wouldn't understand how that pill is going to do what it says he says it's going to do. This is no different. That is no different from what the Lord is telling us here. If we will keep his, not forget his teaching, and do what it says in the wisdom he gives us, this word will do what? Add length of days and years of life to us with peace. That's a big promise. That's a big promise. This is a vital part of how we walk in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is not walking goofy. It is walking with the Spirit, ministering and revealing the Word to you. Verse 3, don't let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Now, that means you have an outward adornment that people see as different. Write them on the tablet of your heart. In other words, put them inside you. Let them live inside you so that they produce the right motives the right way. Verse 4. Look what happens when we do that. We will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and in the sight of man. You will have more favor shown to you when you do things God ways by unbelievers than you will trying to do what you think pleases them. That's what this word is telling us today. Now, what did Jesus hear from the Father? You are my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. His good pleasures will come to you when we walk in his way. It's not we're earning them. It's that we're in putting ourselves in a position to receive it. Now let's look at verses 5 through 8. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. I think he's talking there about carnal understanding. Verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight, guiding you in the way you should go. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. In other words, in your own understanding. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So have the right reverence toward the Lord and don't get pulled in or sucked in to the enticing lust of this world. And look what those things provide for us. It will be healing to our body and refreshment to our bones. Now, to me, that means that we're demonstrating some things. We're able to demonstrate some things as we receive these things in our body. Skip down to verse 13. Now, there are some verses right after that that talk about wealth. And let me just say, don't seek the wealth. Seek His will, His way, His word, His understanding, and all you need will be provided in abundance for you to have abundance for every good work. Verse 13 begins to talk about some of our priorities. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For its profit, what's profit? Wisdom and understanding is better than the profit of silver and its gain than gold. How in the world can having wisdom and understanding be better than having gold and silver? Well, gold and silver may come and go. But if you have His wisdom, what did we just say? All that's going to be provided that you need. So 15 goes on to tell us that she is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Now that's one we need to meditate on. The wisdom that's contained in the Word of God is stronger, is better for you and I than anything that we could desire in this world. Verse 16. Long life is in her right hand and in her left hand. And whose hand are we talking about now? Wisdom. In her left hand are riches and honor. Well, how hard is this, Lord? Well, verse 17 kind of answers that, doesn't it? Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. Now, pleasant ways and all her paths are peace. That doesn't mean there's not going to be some rocks thrown along the roadway that you're at. That doesn't mean that you're never going to have anything come against you or that you're going to be troubled times. What it does mean, though, is that in those troubled times, you're going to see how to step around those rocks because your path is lit. You can see down around your feet and He's showing you the way. And regardless of what's thrown at you, you are walking in peace. You may not be happy about what's thrown at you from that kind of attitude, but you're at peace because you're knowing I'm going through this. I'm coming out the other side. Some people like to say they see the light at the end of the tunnel. But I guess I've gotten to a point where I prefer to see, I see the steps toward the end of the tunnel because the light in me is brighter than the light that's outside that tunnel. Verse 18. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. This verse, as I read it in preparation, just made me think about the way Jesus lived His life. Other than when He went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and that's going to mean more to you when we teach on the blood here in a few weeks, where it flowed from, and sweat drops of blood, I never see any time where I think He was downtrodden and downcast. Yeah, He got angry some, but there is a righteous anger. But I just see Him being motivated by the ultimate wisdom of God being manifested in Him. And His life was a demonstration that changed the world. Verse 19. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. Verse 20. By His knowledge the deeps were broken up and the skies drip with dew. So when you read that verse, does it create the awareness that if we walk with You, that if we walk in God's wisdom, that You can operate just like God operates? the Lord, how did he found the earth? By wisdom. How was the earth created? As he spoke that wisdom, light be. How did he establish the heavens? The same way. He made land, dry land, and had waters. Folks, we can operate in his wisdom. The key is getting to the point where out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth will speak not what we see, not what we feel, not what Aunt so-and-so said, it's just the way it is. But when we speak his word, then we can expect his results. Because we're speaking with the revelation of the wisdom of God. Now, James 1:5. Let's go there and we'll look at two verses. One in James and one in 3 John. And we'll conclude today. James 1:5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. We have his promise. He gives wisdom, but what have we seen? Don't go asking for wisdom, and you're never willing to get in the word. Now, the word is written on your heart, but when we read the word, that's when it begins to come alive in our spirit. That's where we're feeding our spirit. This word is spiritual food. It's what keeps our spirit strong. And you don't eat a steak one night and don't eat anything for 2 weeks and expect to be strong near the end of that 2 weeks. You need spiritual food daily. The other thing I want to just emphasize here is when you perceive you're getting wisdom from God and revelation knowledge, remember to line it up with the Word of God. And then finally, concluding today in 3 John. And no, we're not going to read 3 John 2. But there's some things around that I want you to see. 3 John verse 4. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. In other words, walking in the knowledge, in the understanding and revelation of God, and walking and doing his wisdom. I want to read that one more time, but before I do, look up in verse 1. The elder to the beloved Gaius, who I love, how? In truth. We read verse 4. Look down at verse 3. Talks about how we are walking in truth. Look at verse 8. Talks about we're fellow workers. How? Doesn't say with wisdom. It says with the truth. His wisdom is truth. His truth is the wisdom manifested in us. And then look down at verse 12. From truth itself. So we see the importance here in this one verse of truth. But let's read 3 John verse 4. One more time. I have no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth. And I'll say again, in wisdom, because we have obtained understanding through the revelation of the Holy Spirit of the knowledge of his word. I trust this blesses you today. Remember, if you're listening for the first time and you would like to get a copy of the notes, which all the scriptures on them, just contact us via Facebook on MentonWilliams.com, and we look forward to hearing from you, and we hope to be with you again next week. It's that next week, if we're successful, you may be able to hear and look at us as well. Bless you.